Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So should I repeat the story I told you during the break?
Why not? I think it's entertaining.
Now, I was not doing this to be a wise guy. Not in the least.
You were looking to get informed. Completely understandable.
Look, it was just in casual golf conversation.
No, you were inquiring.
So it's Jack Ham, Mike Wagner, who played with Jack and Andy Russell, and Ron Moeller.
Moleman.
Who, by the way, I believe is on his way back from Amsterdam today. Some people lead lives that we just like the Mole Man. So we're standing there. You talk about a variety of things during the course of a round. Like Chief and Greg, you and I talk while the suit's looking for his ball. And so you just, you chit-chat a little bit on the tee, on the green, whatever. I said, let me ask you guys something. I said, I play golf once in a while. I said, with a good friend. I said, he has this club called the Chutter. I said, have you guys ever heard of this? I got blank stares. Then they wanted to institutionalize me.
And these guys play a ton of golf.
Right. I said, you've never run across anybody one of these? They all looked at me and said, no. They said, I think Mike said, what is it? I said, it looks like a putter, but it's angled, so it's like a part putter, part chipper. And Jack says, well, why don't you just use a wedge to chip with and then use your putter to putt? I said, yeah, I know. And needless to say, the answer was no. They'd never heard of it. And honest to goodness, before I played golf with him, I'd never heard of it. Thinking to myself, I thought, okay, well, maybe this is... And I only brought it up because I thought, well, maybe this is more common than I thought. They said, have you ever seen it? I said, yeah, I tried to take it out of the dude's bag at the last tournament and try to leave it someplace. The answer was no. And these guys play a lot of me. Jack just got back from Scottsdale playing golf. Mole Man, for all I know, he was playing in the Amsterdam Masters. I mean, I have no idea. All right, so time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Yoenis Cespedes, Grand Slam, Howie Rose with the call on the Mets Radio Network.
Runners lead from all three bases, 0-2 to Cespedes. Cole delivers, swing and a drive, well hit to left. Sierra going back to the wall. She is gone! A grand slam for Yoenis Cespedes, and the Mets have busted this thing wide open here in the bottom of the eighth inning. They have scored 9 runs and now lead the Nationals 11-4. Cespedes with a grand slam, his 4th home run of the year.
That's the Mets Radio Network and the outstanding Howie Rose with our play-by-play call of the day. Earlier today, I had a chance to catch up with Patrick Chambers, gearing up with his basketball team and also gearing up for Coaches versus Cancer.
Patrick Chambers joins us.
Bobby.
Scott Walker's here as well.
Bob, right, did bring the sun out for a second. I thought I saw it peek out just for a second. And then it tucked right back in.
But just in time And I'll just take this part. You don't have to comment. Just in time for the arrival of certain individuals, it's going to be nice this weekend. All right, so we'll leave it at that.
Thank you. We need the weather to go up just a tick or two.
It will.
Please.
It will go up a few ticks for you, no problem. Let's start with this. On a day like this, people may not be thinking about it, but eventually, you know, we'll make the turn into May. And the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament will be here. 31st will be the reception. The 1st will be the tournament itself. There's a golden opportunity now to clear certain barriers here that makes a big difference for cancer research.
Well, first of all, it's all year long, and it raises great awareness. Obviously, I've gone through it with my brother.
Sure.
I've had friends. You know, when it hits your family, it stinks. So you really want to be a part of this. And maybe it's not financially, but maybe it's volunteering. Maybe it's just being a part of it in some way. And that's what we're asking for. And we have a chance to surpass $3 million, which is pretty amazing, pretty fantastic, what this gentleman to my left has taken over the last couple of years to spearhead not just the golf tournament, May 31st, June 1st, but the reverse call drawing, the 5K. There's an event next week. I'm going to throw it to you right now, the event next week. Why don't you go over some of the things we're doing?
Yeah, well, thanks, Coach. And like you mentioned, it's all year long. You know, we start planning January 1 through December 31, so we have events all year long. Golf tournament is certainly our heavy hitter. But next week, what we're doing is we're inviting our heavy sponsors, our big longtime donors, to an event at Center Hills Country Club next Thursday at 5 p.m. Coach, you're a member there, right?
No, I'm not.
Oh, well, you're on the sheet. Well, you might be now.
My wife is.
Maybe we signed you up. Congratulations.
We'll go with the athlete and the family.
Yeah, no doubt.
But like you mentioned, I'm proud to serve with a bunch of really good people on our committee. It starts with the committee first and foremost, with your leadership. Wendy Pelkey, Mike Martin, Elena Pyle, Michael Schaefer, who's videotaping
behind the camera,
right now,
Michael.
And just the rest of the folks on our committee. Rose is standing back there, too. But there's a lot of good people that make everything happen. And there's no way we would have gotten to where we've gotten to now. It's year 23 of CVC at Penn State. Year 23, the 22nd annual golf tournament.
It goes back to Bruce.
I know.
Yeah. And then Jerry, and then Ed, and then, I mean, the Steve Greers of the world.
Yeah.
They have just done an awesome job.
So we're the ones that get to celebrate surpassing $3 million net this year, and we're going to get there. We are not good.
You know, and that's a good word, right? Celebrate. You know, we did a lot of celebrating over the last couple of weeks, Penn State basketball. And we need to celebrate the loved ones that we've lost and the ones that are battling currently and the successes. They're survivors that are out there. Every year I hear another success story. Mitchie, right?
Mitchie's
Kathy Drysdale.
Yep.
I've heard more
Freddie
and
Del
more.
Grosso for years.
Yeah. Freddie's still battling. By the way, he was at MSG.
I know.
The guy's a trooper. But you're starting. The money that we're raising is really helping people locally.
Right.
Which
that's
is really exciting.
And that's the key. I was fortunate to sit across the table from Doreen Perks a month ago or so and hand her a check. And that's the money that we raised as a CVC unit. And I was able to hand her a check. And boy, did that feel good. Because you remember Bob Perks.
No doubt.
Oh,
great deal.
Doreen's the best.
She's awesome.
Doreen's
incredible.
In fact, I was telling a story. Went to Milwaukee for Marquette. And Bob Perks was working in sports information. He got himself locked in the media room, couldn't get out, and never saw the second half of the game.
That's a little bit of a problem.
That's a slight problem episode.
Were there cell phones back then? I got to think there
this
wasn't.
Is, this
right?
is the 80s.
Think about this. There was because you're, you know, I'm solution trivia.
Yeah, exactly.
They were called bag phones.
That's right.
Right? I guess you can't. Well, you can't get in touch with anybody.
I go
bang on the door.
I go back
it's not
to rotary.
Work.
I go back to rotary.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I knew Samuel Morse.
You've been working here that long.
Exactly right. You mentioned it's an all-year thing. The 5K just took place a couple of weeks ago.
Coach ran with a stroller.
Yeah. I'm still in a little bit of discomfort.
Mike Martin was joking around. He saw you flying past him pushing a stroller on Curtin Road.
No, that's incorrect. Mike Martin is a stallion. That guy's a stud. He's still running, I think. He's the Energizer Bunny, man. That guy's unreal. But yes, I pushed my 2.5-year-old son. And I tell you what I didn't realize is this place is really hilly.
Yeah. Oh, this
is really hilly. And I was like, wait, another hill?
Yeah.
And then another hill? Yeah. And then another hill? But I made it. I made it. I did it. And I really enjoyed it. What a great event. We got to continue to grow that.
Agreed.
And then the reverse card drawing takes place in September. It's always at Medler Field, Lebrano Park. And that's another major fundraiser which people should start planning for
Thursday, September 20th.
Yeah.
But that's a great event with Danny Rollis and Carrie Bestwick and Jamie Bestwick and all the folks from the Bestwick Foundation. Give away a car, all the food and drink you can eat at the ballpark, one of our major fundraising events.
Well, I want to get into that for a second. You talk about Jamie Bestwick and his foundation. We just talked about Doreen Purse. Mm-hmm. That is, to me, the equivalent of actually handing somebody money that needs money.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what it is. And now, it may be in the form of a chair. It may be in the form of a bill, whatever.
Whatever it may be.
But that's literally you making a direct donation.
So let's get detailed here. So if somebody needs a ride, they can get a ride. If somebody needs gas, tolls.
If they need somewhere to stay.
Somewhere to stay. Hotel. Travel.
Rent. So, if they need their utilities covered. That's what we do.
I think that's what people need to understand. Let's take this another level. The okay, we hand them a check. What do they do with the check? If they need food on the way.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that these finances go to.
Well, you talk about Bob Perks. This is how it started. Bob needed a lift chair.
Yeah.
Right? At the end. I remember being at Bobby's house, you know, and he was showing me the chair, you know, and people had donated to help make that up. That's how this got started.
Right.
The practicality of what do you need.
So think of what you're doing. You just told two Bob Perk stories, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. We need to come together and share these great stories, these funny stories, and these great men. Maybe we'll shed a tear, but we're going to laugh too.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a good time. We're going to raise a glass.
Well, everybody's been affected, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt. So let's celebrate. Go back to that word.
Absolutely.
You know, guys like Bob and guys that are here, like Mitchie and like Kathy, and guys that are not here, like my brother and things of that nature. I think they're the things that we need to celebrate and raise awareness for.
Yeah, and it's, you know, because look, when Mitch was celebrated on the floor, and also when you gave him the jersey at the banquet, that was great because you could still throw your arms around Mitchie because Mitchie survived.
There's no doubt. And there was a picture, even when we lost a few games that year, there was a picture of him going, beat cancer, and he's in his hospital bed.
Yeah.
And it inspired me, like, you know what, I don't have it that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lost the game, but I still have my health. My children have their health, and my wife has her health. And I mean, we got to remember what's important here. And Mitchie inspired us. He really did. And for us to be able to cut down nets in the garden in New York and him cut down a piece of the net, man, what a great way to go out.
Right, exactly. With the golf tournament itself, hole sponsors, tee sponsors, overall sponsors.
You better get signed up today.
Okay.
I was looking at the numbers this morning. We are pushing the limit on golf foursomes. Five cents for this
one. Man, that's great news.
Right.
Yeah,
that's,
we're doing well.
That's great news, but people can still get a sign up there and get something, some sponsorship that makes a difference.
Maybe somebody can golf with me. I'll golf this year. Maybe somebody can golf with me. What do you think?
Your sticks out, Coach?
No. They're somewhere in the basement. I'm not going to dig them out.
Oh.
You know, this job is very demanding, but I can't wait for the event Thursday night. That is an awesome. It's a premier event.
Back to the ballpark.
It's awesome. Oh, is it going back here?
Yeah, back
we're not over blue white. We're going
to
move over here.
Ballpark. This year,
perfect.
Yep.
And that's a great event. You know, stylish. It's awesome.
Thanks.
And then the next day is just the best.
It's just golf all day. So if you want to get involved, you were saying there's still sponsorship slots available. It's cvcpennstate.org. We could use volunteers.
What is it again?
CVCPennState.org.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
We could use more volunteers. We always could. We could use more sponsors. Always could. And get your golf team signed up today.
And come back and see some of the former players. It's former basketball players, former football players, former athletes, coaches. Hopefully Coop. Maybe Coach Cooper will do it this year.
I see him right there.
Yeah, he's right there.
Coop, you in?
He's shaking his head no. You don't even know
Coop's
what we're
in.
Talking about.
He's in.
Oh,
you don't even know what we're talking about. You're already saying no.
I mean,
that's not solution-driven, Coop.
Look, play with a bat. We'll give you a big ball.
Let me tell you, it's always sunny in my world, Coop. You know that, right? It's 85 and sunny.
Yeah.
Bob, where's the barbecue?
Where's the barbecue, Bob? I mean, look, I'll stretch this segment as far as I can. There's still no barbecue.
Yeah, no food. We're hungry.
Hey, come on. That was the entire enticement for doing this thing, I thought.
That was bribed,
Again, cvcpennstate.org. That's to get involved in the golf tournament. And, of course, that'll be May 31st, June 1st. And, of course, the Penn State Golf Course is once again will be hosting. And right now there's a search party. Hughes?
Yeah.
I could walk on Slice right now.
I mean, I've seen it happen.
First hole last night I did. I took
did
my second
shot.
I played last night.
Did you really?
I played nine holes.
Simulator?
You.
No, I went out and played nine holes.
Did you walk?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
That's impressive, Steve. Good for you.
Yeah, I did all right.
Yeah. All right. That's awesome.
So, what the heck?
The first hole, I didn't. The other eight was pretty good.
And get a breakfast bowl. That's everybody awesome. Gets a breakfast bowl.
Mulligan first time out.
Something like that. Yeah. The momentum since all this happened for this basketball team, they played a great month of March, 7-1, including winning their last five. Have you seen the signs that it tells everybody that you are on your way to the next rungs of the ladder in the climb?
I'd like to think so.
How'd you like that question?
It got back to the climb, because we're still climbing. As we know, the climb never ends. Yeah. It never ends. I think so. I mean, the response that I've gotten from Penn Staters and the national exposure that it gave to us has been pretty amazing. Obviously, we're in a major recruiting period right now, and you know, people are very interested in Penn State basketball, and they love the fact Lamar and Josh, Mike, John, Jamari, all these guys are coming back, and they realize that we're going to have a very good team next year as well, and the guys are already working hard. So it's been great. The letters, the fan letters, the email letters have been so positive and supportive about the program and what we did in the Garden and some of the games we won at Notre Dame, at Marquette, and Mississippi State, Utah. Just a great run into that championship. So it was a lot of fun. I look forward to watching the games because you're in it as a head coach, so you really can't enjoy it or cherish it. So when I start to watch it again, I think I'll probably enjoy it even more.
Yeah. Obviously, we talked extensively about Bolden and Dredd because they signed in the early period.
Yep.
But you signed one in the late period. Tell us a little bit about a 6'7 guard that has roots in Russia but played high school basketball in Virginia.
Yeah, I think Penn Staters are really going to like him. He's a point forward.
Yeah.
Can really handle the basketball. He's got great vision, great instincts. He really can shoot it. I mean, he's every bit of 6'7". So I can really move him all over the floor. And when you're out there playing with multiple guys that can pass, dribble, and shoot and have high IQs, I mean, that bodes very well. And we averaged 75, right around there.
Yeah.
Right? I'm looking at Rose, right around there. I think it's 74 and change.
Yeah.
But I'm going to round up to 75, which is great. And I think we broke a record for most points in a season this year.
Easily, by about 300 plus.
Yeah, so, and we shot the ball very well. I know that was a big concern for everybody going into the season. So we did a lot of great things. And so he's just going to add to that. Another guy who can make threes and really put the ball in the basket, but make everybody around him better.
You know, you mentioned vision. What does the 6'7 mean to his vision?
Well, it was a lot like Tony, right? They try to blitz Tony in the post. They try to blitz him in ball screens. And, you know, he's so tall and so long that he can see over everybody. Yeah. So that's really important, especially playing in the Big Ten when these defenses are so good.
Yeah. All right. So CVCPennState.org.
Yes, sir.
Get involved.
Please do.
And help out. It's all CVC's all year. This is a primary event coming up, but it's part of several events during the course of the year.
Correct. Yeah. And hey, we are not getting the $3 million bucks. We're getting there.
No, there's no doubt. We're surpassing it.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Right. So we need
what
to help.
That's going to be a great accomplishment.
Oh, I can't wait.
And to celebrate that on June 1st, Friday night at the reception is going to be awesome.
I agree.
Can I slide one more your way?
Yeah.
How's everything going to get ready for the 814?
As a matter of fact, what are you doing opening night June 16th, Coach?
I think I'm going to be there.
I think so. Is there a big trophy maybe?
As long as I don't have to run.
Can you bring some hardware with you?
I can bring the NIT. I can bring the net. I can bring the trophy, whatever you want.
We'll talk to Uncle PJ about that.
Please do. Talk to Phil.
Got it. Philip J.
Oh, now we're doing that. Now, you win a couple games. Now it's Philip.
No. I didn't say Philip. That was God. I said Phil.
Phil, appreciate it.
He's still PJ to the rest of us. All right.
There's no doubt. No doubt.
Thank you, sir. Great to have you with us on the show. We mentioned some of the basketball news that was involved there. And part of that was dealing with the schedule. And Ohio State's the one game. I think Minnesota, Northwestern, Ohio State are the 3-1 plays that are away. You know, Ohio State's the only one that people regret not having here.
So, everything else, I mean, they got everybody else going to be here. Michigan's going to play here. Michigan State's going to play here. Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin, Purdue, Maryland, Rutgers are all playing here. Illinois. They're going to have 10 home games this year. The Big Ten.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. The Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, let's sell that out. It's 13 days away. It's Wednesday, May 2nd. The advance forecast looks great. And not only that, as an incentive to the two groups that play on either side of us, we will be providing helmets. I mentioned the message of this station, the Ad Council, and Suit Unlimited. Here it comes, incoming. How bad is it that, for example, we're out there and, you know, Craig plays Callaway.
Right.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
your brand of choice is?
Usually I play Titleist now.
Okay.
I play Titleist. Chiefs out there playing Pinnacle. All right. And Suits is sponsored by some bail bond group. What? I don't get it.
It rhymes with Rico?
He says, oh, I got a sponsor for my ball. I'm like, oh,
yay you. All right.
Yay you. Only you.
How about a Fresca?
How about a Fresca Sport? How about a Fresca? We're friends, right? We're friends.
I just heard Bill Murray and his brothers opened up a Caddyshack restaurant in Chicago.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That movie is... How old is that movie now?
Was it 1980?
Man.
79? Ooh. 80?
Wow.
Yeah.
Just coming up on 40 years.
I know. I've never picked up a Baby Ruth candy bar ever since.
No, I
decided
either.
To switch.
I haven't either. It's chocolatey with peanuts. No. When Ted Knight took the job, of course, he had just finished his run with the Barry Tyler Moore Show. He didn't tell anybody in the set, but he had cancer already. When Rodney Dangerfield thought he was bombing in the movie. Thought he was bombing. He says, I'm doing all these jokes, because he'd do like scenes over and over and over again, and he kind of drove the cast nuts, because then he tried like a different joke in the scene. And he says, it's bombing. And nobody's laughing. And they finally had to explain to him, Rodney, if we laugh, we can't use the scene. It's a movie. It's up to the audience in the theater to laugh. And so then what Dangerfield would do is that when the day was over, the younger cast members, the caddies, he'd bring them into an area and show scenes as to which ones they laughed at. Chevy Chase and Bill Murray were not on great speaking terms before the movie, but then they put that scene together. There was no scene in the movie where the two of them were in together. Think about it. There's no scene in the movie where the two of them are together until Ty Webb has to... he's so nervous about playing the winner-take-all billion-dollar match the next day. Not $1 billion, but might as well have been back then. That he practices at night. And remember, he hits the ball into Carl's... what do you call that? Apartment? Area? Whatever. And the two of them have that scene together. Well, they realize as they're shooting this, wait a minute, there's no scene with Chevy or Bill in it. None. So Harold Ramis made one up. And the two of them ad-lib the thing. And from that point on, they were like back on great terms again after that. But when they originally wrote the movie, as they're going through this, because Murray showed up really late, you know, with his TV shooting schedule at the time, because he was still on Saturday Night Live at the time. So he showed up later than everybody else to start shooting his scenes. They had to teach everybody golf. Chevy Chase, the tennis player, so they had to teach him how to play golf. Dangerfield swing is Dangerfield swing. The guy that plays Danny, who ends up getting a Fresca, right, he lied to them and said that he played golf. Well, his dad happened to be a member at Wingfoot, and he put him with the pro for 6 weeks to get ready to play for the movie. Look, the movie is, all right, if you, well, obviously it has to be your taste, but like for you and me, I mean, we're low enough in the totem pole, we think it's a riot.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the first movies I saw on HBO when I got it before I got into high school. I had to wait till Mom snuck up to bed to turn on Caddyshack. That and Stripes.
Hits the ball, it goes into the beak of the bird. He says, that's considered good luck. He says, yeah, in Haiti. my father, he didn't like you. And Dangerfield has all the, oh, my arm. Well, that could be a fracture. I bet you were something before electricity. I know that when we're out at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament and I watch the suit swing, Caddyshack comes to mind right away. Now, I will admit my deep concern, was it 2 years ago? We were on the ninth hole, and then I guess it's now 18. And that's at par three.
Yes.
And Chief was in our group. I'm trying to remember who our fourth was.
Well, 2 years ago, it would have been Jennifer Wakeman.
It was Jen.
There you go.
Yeah, it was Jen. And Jen was a lot of fun to play golf with. And the three of us were on the green. I remember I was on the green. I hit an 8-iron. And Kevin dribbled one off the tee box and down the hill. Now this is not a joke. Please, I'm not making fun of him here in any way, shape, or form. Just whatever reason, he just hit a bad one and it went down into the gully. So I said, "Hey, I'll go get it for you." He says, "No, I'll get it myself." And he went down there, and all of a sudden, he's not coming back up. I'm like, what the heck? Well, yeah, I think everyone knows he had a heart procedure. Well, he hadn't had it yet. And I want to tell you right now, he scared the living daylights out of me. He didn't go down or anything like that, but like he had trouble breathing for a period of time because he was trying to walk his way back up the hill. Of course, we had carts, and I was trying to drive down to get him, and he's like trying to walk. I said, "What are you doing? Get in the cart." I'll tell you, he scared me. He really did. Yeah, I must have asked him 20 times on the back nine, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" It's the one time, that's a one time out there in the 6 years that I played in this thing that there was no kidding around on the back nine. I was worried about him. Then he had the heart procedure done, which he made sure your wife knew he had done. That's a right. Different story. Yes. Captain Empathy. It's like somebody else has an operation, it's about him. Okay, great. But yeah, no, it scared me. But yeah, that's the one time out there, there's no kidding around. I'm like, something serious here. Then he kind of, a couple holes later, he kind of settled down a little bit. Like, okay, good. Like, holy mackerel. You know, because, I mean, look, we'd have to get the paramedics, we'd have to stop playing, and then all of a sudden, it's like our score doesn't count. There's all sorts of issues, okay? Just kidding.
Yes, we're kidding.
All right. Bob Grove, great to have him on board. Bob, welcome.
Not great to be with you, as always.
Three games to one. Can you figure out why Philadelphia has shown the aggressiveness of a rug?
No. You know, it's funny because I was talking about, with somebody today about the fact that last night's game, and this is, look, I give the Penguins full points for taking care of business, doing what they needed to do. But last night's game was maybe, and I've been watching the Flyers play the Penguins for over 40 years. I don't think I've ever seen the Flyers play a game like they played last night against Pittsburgh. I mean, they just, I don't want to say they didn't look interested, but they almost didn't look that interested.
Yeah, I couldn't understand it. I'm watching this thing, and like you would figure down, let's say, 2-0 in the game, that they would turn it up. I mean, I watched. I'm sure you watched some of Nashville and Colorado. How Nashville opened the game after being scored upon to start each of the first three games of the series.
Right.
They swarmed. I thought the Philadelphia would start swarming. I'm still waiting.
No, it was evident. No, I'm with you. I mean, it was evident to me in the opening 5 minutes that they weren't engaged at all. And then they put together, after the Penguins had a 1-0 lead, they put together two shifts back-to-back where they just stormed the Pittsburgh zone. And the Penguins were pinned in their own zone. Murray had to make a couple of saves. They didn't get anything out of it. And Kessel got what was, for me, not a good goal to give up for Elliott. And that was it. All the air went out of them, and they never recovered. I mean, I just saw the Penguins outwork them, outhit them, outplay them, beat them to loose pucks. I mean, they just dominated that game outside of a couple of shifts.
Letang, what kind of difference has he now started to make as time goes in this series?
Well, he's been better. You know, he had a better second half, You know, he gets a goal. In last night's game, but he's I think he's stabilized. I mean, I think he's been a little bit more consistent recently than we've seen him. So that's huge for the Penguins because this is not, you know, this Pittsburgh defense, Steve, is not it's not the greatest. It's not the greatest. It's not bad, but it's, you know, from top to bottom, it's not the greatest. And they need him. They need him to be a difference maker, and he's been pretty good.
What about Hornquist? Okay, obviously didn't play. When he isn't there, what are a couple of the intangibles that you lose by not having his presence out there?
Well, you know, and here's the thing: he's out for Game 5 as well, which is not a surprise. You lose just the aggravation factor. I mean, he just makes life miserable for defensemen and goaltenders specifically. I mean, he just camps out in your crease, and he blocks your vision, and he bugs you, and he whacks at you when you have the puck covered, and he just never stops playing. I mean, the guy plays 100%, 100% of the time. Yeah. So he's just, so you lose. There's not another player on this Pittsburgh team who plays the way, well, there are very few players in the league, quite frankly, but that plays like this. That's why he's so important to the Penguins. Is, you know, you can talk about all the skill, you know, and all the east-west passing they do and all the pretty plays they make, and then here comes Hornquist, who's just like a runaway train on every shift. And they need that because that physical presence, it helps their forecheck, and it helps them create 30 goals, you know, when they need one, and he can get them. So they miss that.
Last 2 years, we've talked about the element of speed. You know, there are certain givens. Crosby's a given. Malkin's a given. Kessel's a given. Letang, they're all givens. It's the secondary players that have been swing players to me that have made a difference between a team that gets to the cup final, gets the conference final versus winning the cup. How have you felt about the secondary players for the Penguins and how they're playing of late?
They've been good. You know, I mean, so for me, that's Gensel, right? And, you know, Gensel puts up 4 points in game one.
Sherry, Gensel.
Yeah, so Gensel's been good. I think, actually, for me, Brian Rust, who started the season, and I really like him a lot, started the series rather on Crosby's line and was moved off it, has not been playing well the last few games. And I don't think Connor Sherry, he was a little better last night, but you know, he got bumped down the lineup as well. So neither one of those guys for me has done as much. And Brassard, you know, should be one of those guys this year. He absolutely should be. And he's been okay, but you know, I don't think he's been better than that. So it's a little bit of an incomplete at this point, and they're going to need more from those kind of guys if they're going to keep moving on.
I want to ask you about Gensel for a moment. You know, he obviously performed really well in the cup run last year. He looks like he's off to another really good start this year. What is it about the moment with him where he just seems to ratchet it up a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, 13 goals last year to lead all scorers, and then he starts the playoffs off with a career-high 4 points. I don't know. This kid, for me, just he embraces these kind of challenges. I mean, and you can see this in some players, and I'm sure you've seen it too, Steve, through the years. I mean, there are just some guys, and when it's a big moment, when it's a big game, big time, they just live for that. And their performance level doesn't change, or in fact maybe goes up, whereas other guys who maybe have been good, their performance level goes down because they get a little bit overwhelmed by it. And he's one of those guys that in the moment when you really need something, he's a guy who steps up and delivers it. I mean, and that's sort of what I like about Rust as well. I mean, Rust is already in his brief career with the Penguins, it's only been a few seasons, has proven himself to be a big-time player at huge moments in the playoffs. And you just, you know, the value of having young guys be able to do that is just, it's so important. I mean, if you look back at their cup runs, so in 2016, it was Matt Murray. You know, and in 2017, it was Gensel. And so who would it be in 2018? You know, might it be Zach Aston-Reese? You know, might it be Brassard be the guy who comes in? And so, you know, having these young guys, we've talked about this before, it has such a huge impact on their salary cap because they pay these guys next to nothing and they get huge production, and that's their formula.
T was talking the other day. I thought he made a great point talking about Mike Sullivan's ability. And we're relating this, the two of us, between like Brad Stevens with the Celtics. What is it about Mike Sullivan's ability to maybe create something on the fly that turns into a positive?
Well, here's what it is for me, is that he instills, I think he just has such a great relationship with the team. I think he understands the right moments. He gives them a lot of respect for what they're able to do, and he understands, you know, what they're not able to do, and he gives them a path to sort of doing stuff his way so they can still play their game but do the things they need to do. And he just creates in them a confidence level that when they get put in there, that I think they feel like he believes in them. And they feel like they want to pay him back. And that's what I see, well, up and down the lineup. But, I mean, it's especially critical for young players. So I think he's able to move these guys around and hold them, you know, hold them responsible. And they've seen it. I mean, guys have hit the press box. Guys have been nailed to the bench in games. So, I mean, he's, you know, he's shown them some tough love at times. And at other times when things are really going bad for the same player, he might be the one to come out publicly and back them, you know, and say, look, the guy's busting it. I think he's doing the best he can. You know, we know he can do better, but we have faith in him. We believe in him, you know, that kind of messaging. And so I think that's, for me, that's the magic of what he has going right now. Sullivan, I'm telling you, he understands his team. Yeah. Maybe better than any other coach in Penguins history that
I've
seen.
That's what I was saying the other day.
Yep.
So you see, he said the same thing the other day. One final question. A year ago today, Vegas had no players.
yeah, it's true.
Is there any other team in the world? You could say that about a year ago today. They had no players. They sweep their way into the second round. Are we watching one of the really great stories to see something like this happen, especially in that market?
Yes. This is, for me, This is a once in a lifetime thing, and if there's any Premier League fans out there, this is Leicester of a couple of years ago.
This is Leicester City.
This is exactly what it is. I mean, this thing has. Look, they're going to the Western Conference Finals. I'm not sure they can beat Nashville. I know that the Vegas odds have them as the Cup favorites. I really don't see that. No. But this team has been consistent all season long. They've got Fleury playing out of his mind. He's at the top. They've got all these other guys. They all have their roles. Gallant's done a fantastic job. They play the game at a high pace. They're so competitive. Yeah. They just never quit. I mean, there is so much to love about this team that I don't think we'll ever see this happen. And I know, I mean, you know, a couple years we're going to have Seattle, and the rules are going to be the same. But I would defy them to even come close to doing what I think this is. You know, a genie in a bottle, lightning in a bottle, whatever you want to call it. This is an incredible one-off thing that's happening, and it is so much fun to watch.
If I'm Seattle, I've taken every note I possibly can take.
Absolutely. Good luck finding 25 players like this, though.
25 players like this, and starting out with a goalie that's won a cup.
Yeah.
I mean, that,
no, absolutely.
Okay.
No, that's, yeah, it's huge. Just absolutely. And we know that, you know, when Fleury got injured this year, I mean, they used five different goalies in the first couple months of the season, and they all played well. But we all know that, you know, if Fleury were to go down, look, you can't expect that. You know, if he goes down, they're in trouble. But he's the backbone. He's the guy that enables them to go do all the other stuff around the rink, and they play well in front of him. So, I mean, their challenge now a little bit is they're going to have to score. They're going to have to be a little bit more creative than they were against L.A. because, you know, they didn't give up anything, but they didn't score much. And San Jose will challenge them, but I don't see San Jose beating them either.
No, I don't either. No. Bob, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
All right, Steve.
Bob Grove joining us, talking a little hockey today. Our thanks to Patrick Chambers. Our thanks to Scott Walker. And our thanks to Bob Grove as well. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have Joe Marino, FanRag Sports, and the NFL Draft. Joe Susan on Monday with Greg Pickle. Tony Knopp next Wednesday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai asks, what import brand is the must-have vehicle in the Susquehanna Valley?
Toyota?
April Fools!
Honda?
April Fools!
Subaru?
April Fools!
It's Hyundai! That's no April Fools! If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai! Stop in Sunbury Motors Hyundai and see why Hyundai offers more features, more selection, and more choices than any other import brand. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is taking up to $5,050 off 2018 Hyundai Santa Fe's, and they start at $25,560. Start your spring off right with a brand new Hyundai Veloster. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 7 in stock, starting at $17,495. Or a 2018 Hyundai Elantra, starting at $15,730, with 13 in stock. And they all have America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Don't fall for April Fool's jokes. If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.